Hey, KFC Radio listeners, you can find every episode of KFC Radio on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
My mom's cooking Christmas cookies.
And you're just like...
And the smell of that hit me in the face. The dogs came to greet me at the door. My mom...
I would have just been weeping.
My mom's like, you're home early? And then she saw my face and was just like, what happened?
Cool it is, babe!
He's back!
How's things, bro?
I'm well, man. Are we recording?
We're fucking recording,
yeah,
dude.
Right. We stay hot.
Francis Ellis is back.
How much cash do you roll with, dude?
Let's see. Not a ton.
Like, dude, any amount is a ton.
Well, I have a little bit.
I see
bit
some
of,
blue bills in there. We got a couple hundos in there.
So much money in there.
We got hundos.
$320 And it's because we just got a bunch of like envelopes for our wedding. So some people give cash.
Shout out to people give cash.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Actually, I don't know, though. Is it getting to the point where cash is now weird? Like you said, it's like, what am I going to do with like $5,000 cash?
I don't know if I'll ever get over cash unless inflation gets to the point of like Zimbabwe or something where it's just utterly meaningless.
Cash is king, man.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, John knows all about it. Inflation in Zimbabwe.
I know how things are going in Zimbabwe. It's rough.
How was the... Did you clean up at the wedding? Or were you like, motherfucker, that didn't even cover the cost of the plate?
You know,
there was a couple of those.
It's
I know
good
that
question.
Game.
The culture's changed.
Big
and I'm
time.
Sure COVID had something to do with it where it's like the people are now saying you have a whole year
where
you're allowed to give a
that's
gift.
That's
the
always
whole,
been
that's
the rule,
around,
but
right?
I never knew that people actually did that.
Not only
you.
Do they do
oh,
it, they use the year
gifts.
And then they just
You just don't
forget.
Even give the gift?
I do not give gifts.
You waited a year and then you forgot?
A lot of people don't give. A lot of people don't give gifts.
Bro,
it's not and it's not like I'm not actively not giving a gift. I'm like, I'll get it later.
Yeah, and you just never
and
get
it. And I forget.
It slides.
Yeah. You need a girlfriend for those things. If you invite like a single guy you're wedding, you're not getting a gift.
Right,
he's
right,
not
right,
RSVPing,
right.
And he's not giving you a gift.
Nor should he.
Girls take care of those things. You know, we got to send a thank you note and a fucking gift or what, you know, or money. Also, it depends on where you live because I know like up here, we all just do cash. You were surprised. You said you never gave cash except for me, right?
If you expect cash from me, you're not getting a gift.
how would you know?
Like, you shouldn't have invited me. Like, why am I here?
But, okay,
why am I at
this
wedding?
So that's where...
If you, I'm either going to get you, like, you're either my best friend and I'm going to get you a real gift, or, like, why the fuck am I here?
Which is fair, I guess. I mean...
You're like, whatever, what's her name on The Office? The old woman?
Meredith?
Yeah.
Wait.
When Pam and Jim are like, we really want just... You know, cash or whatever, and she's like, "No."
Yeah. No. That's Phyllis. That's Phyllis.
Phyllis. Get some like a birdhouse or something. I don't even know what it is.
He wants to give like a thoughtful gift. Like, you know what? I'm thinking about it's cash.
If you're my real friend, you're getting a fucking awesome gift.
Yeah, but it's probably something like.
If not, then why am I here?
But even the awesome gift is probably something like it's like an amazing picture of like me and the family, and it's like I need to pay the bills for this fucking wedding, bro.
We booked more of a honeymoon thinking we would use a lot of wedding funds for it. And then we got home thinking like, boy, I can't wait to open the mailbox. Found a bunch of magazines. And I was like, fuck these people, dude. What on earth?
Honestly,
where are they?
I do fully understand.
Shouldn't have done the halibut. Should have done the cod.
That's what I mean. Like,
did we really need cod or halibut?
I get that. You plan a big-ass party.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't be like, well, we'll just make all our money back from our guests. You know?
No.
That's on you. You did something lavish and expensive, but there is kind of this understanding.
Yeah.
And it's...
But it's funny you say that because we actually had a slightly smaller wedding. We had 95 people.
Oh, wow.
And that is probably... Like, if we'd had more guests, we would have gotten more gifts.
Right, right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
Well, definitely. But I guess it depends on... If you're,
the wedding would have been more expensive. So,
well, you also, I mean, you're inviting a bunch of rich people, right?
Yeah, but I don't know if it doesn't seem to matter.
Really? They just, everybody's just out here giving like $200.
It doesn't matter
what.
How much money you have. The same proportion of people are going to just utilize
true.
I forgot.
Yeah. Which is just a shitbag move, bro. I forgot.
<Yeah.
laughs> Dude. I genuinely forgot. Like, I'm not.
No,
I'm not being a dick.
No,
I'm not. If I could give you half my bank account, I would. I'd give you my alimony or whatever. But I genuinely forgot.
Right.
I don't remember.
Mm.
It's the Monday episode of KFC Radio. We got our boy Francis Ellis on the show. Today's episode is brought to you by 3Chi. 3Chi is just about the only thing, the only way that adults can sleep at this point.
Yeah. I would imagine. No, I actually...
The amount of people that I think that because 3Chi has gotten down with us, like, early, like, I think if you looked at, like, the network of how 3Chi has spread, I think that we've, like, touched more people's lives and helped them sleep and get through, like, chronic pain and restlessness and all that. Like, we're basically doctors.
In a sense. In fact, in this episode, we talk about sleep. And the only reason I think I address how bad my sleep is, and the only reason I'm even okay is 3Chi. In fact, I can't wait for this episode to be done so I can go home.
Okay, there's the 3Chi, right? Yeah. As soon as the day's over.
Yeah, dude, we record on Fridays now? It's fucking nuts. So,
I can't wait
to go home and sleep for the weekend.
This will be a Thursday recording going forward. A Friday recording is like, let's go. We got to get home ASAP. But 3Chi is a THC extract. You know THC. From marijuana. So now there's Delta 9. Delta 8 was last year, 2000 and late. Now Delta 9 is that new shit. So you can get the Delta 9 in the form of a vape pen, in a gummy, in a edible, in an oil so that you can cook your own edibles, in drinkless powder, tasteless powder so you can drink it. Every which way you can get this Delta 9 in you so that you get that THC high and that euphoria, but you don't get sluggish or paranoid. And it's all legal. It's all organic. You don't have to go to a dispensary. You don't have to have a... prescription. You don't have to have a doctor, any of that. You can get it all at 3chi.com. That's the number 3chi.com. And you can experience cannabis perfected. Use stool 5 at checkout for a 5% discount. That's STOOL 5 for 5% off all products. Must be 21 to purchase. Anyway, it's all come full circle. We're burying the lead here. Francis is back.
What a thrill to see you two, huh? I love you guys.
I love you too.
This is just a really cool.
I also love you.
I love you guys.
No, you didn't say you.
Like, he's a big I love you guy.
I love you guys.
He always says it back. No, I love you. You guys have been
you're so nice. You've been in touch with me throughout my 3 years out beyond the wall.
I can't believe
it's
3 years.
It's been 3 years. Yeah. Well, yeah, that makes sense, right?
I guess pandemic kind of just like is a time warp, but I would have been like,
I would not have said that. Yeah.
Yeah, and you guys kept a lifeline or a sort of a I don't know what you'd call it. Like I picture one of those two solo cups connected by a string. I was in the treehouse for 3 years.
I will totally, being 100% honest, there was several times, initially being like, if we have Francis on the show right now, we're going to get a fucking ton of downloads right when you first got fired. And then, but then I was like, I don't want to rock the boat, you know? Yeah. And there was like several times throughout that I was like, let's have Francis on because of, you know, you went viral or just because. And we're going to talk about that. Yeah. You've turned into a full-blown vigilante hero, bro. I love it.
I'm glad you're on that side.
I love it. Because I mean, I'm not crazy enough to do it, but I fucking love it.
It's almost exclusively what Kevin and I talk about.
It's all, I mean, I bring it up like every day, dude.
First of all, let me just to that, well, if we want to save that for in a second.
Yeah, let me just say, because I wouldn't have fired you. I said that when it happened. I probably would have like suspended you or some bullshit to just wait for the storm to pass. I understand why Dave did what he did. But when I was like, I think we're losing a really good talent here. And there was several times where I wanted to have you back, not only because I think you're funny and good, but because I know that the downloads are going to be high. but every time it was just like, it's probably not going to be a thing, but if it's a thing with Dave, it's a whole fucking thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so we were pussies about it. And now we don't have to worry. You're back.
Yeah, That's it. Dude, it's funny. You know, Roan broke the seal.
Yeah.
And he did it in the most kind of like, we're almost going to have him on and try to not have anyone see it.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. I was like, I think sometimes Dave doesn't even know if KFC Radio still exists, you know? But he would tag, and it's social media that I have to worry
exactly.
about, you know?
So Rona asked me the day before, he was like, bro, do you want to come do Son of a Boy Dad? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And he was like, how about tomorrow, actually? Nobody's in.
Right.
And I'm like, is it like that, you know? I mean, should I do it? I don't want to fucking get people in trouble.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, fuck it, man. Come, we're going to rip the Band-Aid off.
I like it.
So then
Son of a Boy Dad, Anus, a couple shows are like the like we're fucking wacky. We don't care what we do. Rules, mm-hmm. sort of thing. You know, like, mm-hmm. I think if we just had you on the show, we'd be like, what the fuck, man? But it's like, yeah. son of a boy, dad, those assholes had on Francis. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Could have gotten away with it.
Yeah, those mischievous kids.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like, I already hate little sass, whatever. I don't know.
So, yeah, they had me on, and, you know, then, of course, Dave saw it and was like, yeah, I don't care. And then,
which is so funny that he says that, though, because there was a time where he wouldn't have been like, I don't care. There was a time
yeah,
where he would have been
be
like,
fair,
you're
that
fine.
Time was 3 years ago.
I know. Yeah. I guess so. Yeah. I guess so. Yeah. Yeah.
And so then Dave had me on, you know, the Dave Portnoy show a week later. And I think he wasn't.
So, sorry to interrupt again. Yeah. That happened because of Son of a Boy Dad. Like, yeah. that put it back on the radar. Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
And he had me on, and maybe it was even only 4 days later, because Eddie hit me up and was like, we want to come on. And I said, sure, yeah. But I was very nervous. Because I didn't know how Dave felt towards me or about me.
That's not an easy show to go on.
No. And I went on, and it was incredibly warm and kind of fine and cordial and very, he was appreciative. I was like, probably more praise that I received from him in that 20-minute interview than I did in the 2.5 years that I'd worked here. And it was definitely a conversation that seemed to be leading towards the door opening. And sure enough,
so that, like right then and there, as you're doing the show, are you thinking
it happened
like,
in real time?
Shit. Yeah.
I had suspected, given the things that he had said on his show the week before, where he was like, "Yeah, I saw Francis on Son of a Boy Dad. You know, if he were interested in working here again, I would entertain it."
Interesting.
And I was like, "Oh, okay." Because, dude, I'm telling you, until that day, there was no part of me that thought I would ever work here again.
Yeah.
And not because I didn't want to necessarily,
right?
But because I just assumed there was no opportunity. Right. I didn't think that the company had any interest in hiring me again, or ever would. And I was doing fine. Right. And I just thought our lives were going to go in parallel, whatever, different directions. Yeah. And that would be it. But my God, it happened so fast. I went on Dave's show, good interview. That night, he starts texting me and he's like, all right, let's see if we can make this happen. We text back and forth, get to an agreement the next morning. And that was a week and a half before my wedding. So in the fucking 2 weeks leading up to my wedding,
which is like the most stressful time in anybody's life at that
all
point,
of a sudden, this, you know, enormous past rears its head and then welcomes me back, as I put it, the school that expelled me, or the ex that broke my heart that I took me 3 years to heal from, finally saw, hey, he's lost some weight. He's making good stuff. Why don't you? Well, I like you again. What do you say we try? And I'm like, oh my God, I want to be just focused on the wedding and all this, but it all happened. And then I got married and went on the honeymoon the next day. For 2 weeks, I guess. And then 2 days after the honeymoon, I got back. I came in for my first day. So it's been an insane month.
Yeah, for real. That is a wild month.
One
All
month.
Good things, though.
Yeah.
I would have called off my wedding, I think.
I was going to say. So I dumped her. I went back to Barstool.
Yeah, if Dave was like, you can work here, I'm just so scared of Dave that I'd be like, all right, fine. I'll
start tomorrow.
He's like, no, you don't. No, you don't have to do that. Like, no, it's fine. It's fine. I'll get, like, we'll call the wedding off.
Was there any, vibe of like this was almost like making amends in a way, like you make good shit, like we always know that was never like the part that was in doubt. Was it like it's time to just bring back good talent, or do you think it was like we want to bring him back because he's good, and also I want to like write a pass wrong?
I don't think
Dave thinks that
I don't think there was anything about. I don't think that was part of.
Because I don't. I guess I would be speaking for him. Because I don't think he does. I don't think he did anything wrong.
No. But like, nor do I.
If it was me, though, I would have been like, I know that you didn't like deserve that, even though you deserve. You know what I mean? And it would have just been like a.
If you clear
my conscience, right or wrong, like, you know, almost like it's like a Back to the Future thing, like go back in time and fix something that, you know, went awry that shouldn't have, and like, make it all right, you know.
If anything, the coming back here, what it has done for me is made me realize that I was never fired for any reason really other than what the blog just, like, I wrote.
And just shitty time.
And I had, you know, you get so mired in the theories that you read. Mm-hmm. Because anytime I would make something funny after I was fired that would gain any traction, the Barstool people would be like, mm-hmm. fuck, man, this guy's so funny. They should never have fired him. And then someone else responds, and then they'd be like, they shouldn't have fired him for that blog. That was no big deal. And then someone else would be like, they didn't fire him for the blog. It's because he was not a good person.
Right,
someone else is like, yeah, he was just in it for himself. He's a silver spoon bitch. He's living off daddy's money. He never took the job seriously. And then someone else is like, why does it matter what his family makes? He still made good work. And then you're like, ah, I agree with all of this somehow. And who? How do they know me so well? You just follow this rabbit hole of nonsense about yourself.
Why are you following that?
I can't. It's not even like the Reddit.
Why are you following that?
Like Twitter.
Just hearing that fucking spelled out.
That is the,
why are you doing that?
Because a lot of people always yell at me like, don't read the comments. And I'm like, it's not comments anymore. It's just, it's now I can't even use my social media.
But you mute that person.
Yeah.
The moment someone says something mean, you mute them.
It's like trying to mute the ocean.
Yeah.
Like it's like I'm muting that drop of water and there's another one right
after
it.
It recedes every time, bro.
I know.
The mute button
is your friend.
He has always subscribed to this, yep. And I you are very unique. Yes. In your imperviousness.
I'm not impervious. I'm not impervious.
You're right, you're not impervious. What you're unique about is that you actually can not read it. Like,
dude,
actually,
it makes you all sad.
I know.
Yeah. There's, and not only that,
everybody who says they don't read the comments is a bold-faced liar, except for him.
Yeah,
he's
agreed.
The only one.
It's not even just that it makes you sad. It's that when they're positive about you, it gives you a false sense
high.
Of
yeah.
confidence. Mm-hmm. And makes you think you're worth more than you are.
Also, to me, though, the one positive comment is worth like one millionth of a negative comment.
That's true.
Right.
But that's true. I do,
dude,
like to.
I'll occasionally slip through the cracks, and I still think about it like weeks later.
Right.
Like just one mean one.
Everybody who says it, the comic world went ablaze with it over the summer with Brendan Schaub and all that shit. It's like, don't tell me you don't read the comments.
Yeah.
Because you do. He's the only one.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
But also, you know what he told me? It's one of my favorite lines from him ever. He said, what people say about you in like your DMs is none of your business. And then you know
it's around here somewhere.
And then actually, Louis said it.
Louis
on
the Rogan thing was really good.
He just kind of expanded upon it and said it like a little bit, you know, more.
They don't have a vote.
Yeah, but
they don't have a vote.
But he was like, I care about my audience's feedback.
Yep.
They pay money and they're there. But like these other people, and he also called them like professional. He didn't say haters, but he's like, these are professional people. They're, like, their profession is to harm you, mm-hmm. and they want to hurt you. And they are going to, because my thing has always been, I see it, I hear it, I can't avoid it, but I don't let it ever affect what I do.
Yeah.
And then, that was his point. He's like, even if you're thinking,
right,
I'm not letting this affect me, you're letting it affect me.
It's 100%. Like the Timothy, the ref, the NBA ref who bet on basketball.
Yeah. I didn't let it affect my.
He was like, I never threw a game. And it's
fuck off.
I didn't have money on it.
Yeah.
I actually love that he said that.
Yeah. Did you guys see that doc, by the way?
No, I heard it was very good, though. Yeah.
Well, it is very good, but it also hints at some conspiracy theories, which I had no idea about. And it's one of those things where you're like, you're watching this and you're like, when people say that certain documentaries have an agenda, this seems to kind of fall under that.
Yeah. He's a big proponent of that.
They had their narrative worked out before. Yeah.
But I also, I appreciate like documentaries used to mean like, it's like, you know, just informational. And now it's like, no, this is just like a cool movie.
That's
told like through the eyes of a,
I love a docudrama.
Yeah.
I love a docudrama. Because it at least gives you like the suspension of disbelief where you're like, okay, everything isn't factual.
Yeah.
Really.
Do you like the narrative scenes where they're like, and then he walked down the hall and then all of a sudden they cut to like a fucking reenactment. Yeah. Like, you hear the footsteps, the father are coming to beat the son. You know? It's like, and then that's why I ended up this way. Why do you think I started making bombs?
I got a new apartment. Actually, it's an old apartment. It's the first apartment building that I lived in. It's all come full circle, also known as pathetic.
That was such a good spin zone. Like, yeah. I found a new bedroom. It's actually the old bedroom I used to live in.
Things are going great. Things are grand. 38 years old, moving back to where you were born. Awesome. But
luckily it has all my posters up, so.
I fully plan on outfitting it entirely with Yogi Bows. I'm gonna have a couch because you can't be a full-blown weirdo who doesn't have a couch. You have to have a couch, right? But then the rest of it, all Yogi Bows. They are the Tesla of beanbag chairs. How about that?
The Tesla of beanbag chairs. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, right? That one, they should pay extra for that one. It's basically like a chair or a couch or a recliner in the form of like a beanbag chair that conforms to your body. So you can just sit down on it and it becomes a chair. You can lay down on it and it basically acts as a mattress. It could be a giant pillow. However you lay in it, it forms to your body so that you're as comfortable as can be. It's incredibly versatile. It's lightweight. It can you can carry it and move it easily. You can stash it if you need to. Or it can be basically your furniture in the most comfortable room in your house. So reinvent your space with a couple Yogi Bows. Perfect for if you're living in a small apartment and you can't fit a couch or you can't get the chair up the stairs. Bro, I had these movers. I felt so bad for these guys. I gave them $200 each. Like unpacking my place and then getting to the new place. Like it just, the stairway was small and I was throwing tons of, I had 5 years of just shit accumulated. So I didn't even move all of it. I threw a lot of it out, but just getting it out and moving it over. These dudes, this kid Bailey, he's this kid from Philly. I'm going to shout him out on Instagram. I mean, the kid's a fucking savage. It's Blue Line Moving. These guys were awesome. And this kid Bailey was just up and down the stairs like 600,000 times. Took way longer than we expected. At the end, I was even like, I hate moving. I feel like super awkward, you know? I'm like, it's like one of these things, like, should I be doing it myself? So I was trying to help out. And at the end, I was like, thanks, man. I know that was like, you know, that was a bear. I know that was like more than you expected. And he was like, yeah. Like, you know, like not one of those, like, no, it's fine, man. It's what we do. He was like, yeah, no, this shit sucks. So I was like, fuck. So if you're moving or you have a small apartment or whatever, none of that fits, you got Yogi Bow to make it easier. Go to yogibow.com/KFC, YOGIBO.com/KFC. Get 25% off your order. It's yogibow.com/KFC and then code KFC to get 25% off your order with your Yogi Bows.
By the way, I tried to buy tickets to Louis at MSG. Uh-huh. Sold fast.
Yeah.
Not that it wasn't sold out right away.
Holy shit. So you couldn't get tickets?
It was just, I could have got tickets, but it was like, yeah, they weren't that good.
Is he doing the theater at Madison?
No,
He's doing the garden again.
MSG in
so
the
we were hoping, because he's kind of come out of the shell a little bit. And
he's been on pods and stuff.
And so I was like, if he's doing the, because I remember when Bill Burr came to do the show, he's doing the garden. And I was kind of like surprised. And this Bill has since done it many times because he's just a cool dude. But I was like, Bill Burr's like on our show. And he was like, bro, it's hard to sell out the garden. He's like, up there, it's a lot of fucking tickets. So I was like, maybe Louis will want to sell out that like final 1,000 seats and maybe he'll come on the podcast. And it sounds like probably not.
Well, I mean, it was just like, it was the floor that was sold out. Like, you know, if I'm going to go see Louis at MSG, I want to see.
Do it right.
Yeah. Do you recall when before his, you know, bad moment, let's call it, that he had a residency at the garden. It was an unofficial residency such that I think the deal was like they're going to let him keep doing it until he stops selling out, and he just didn't. And it was really? Like, wow. I don't remember that at all.
The garden,
Yeah. He was ripping, he had at least 10 shows. Now,
holy
they might have been like
shit.
Once a month or once every couple of months, still, but it was like he's coming back, he's doing it again.
Dude, he is.
It was almost like a.
So
Billy Joel funny. Type situation.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Because Billy Joel is like, you know.
Did you do the Snapchat show maybe 2 weeks ago where there was like, who's your favorite comedian? Was just a question.
Yeah.
I was like, Louis?
Yeah. No, you know what? It's fucked because I did that too and I didn't say him because it's kind of, you know, been, I don't know. It's just like because of what happened, I think of other comics first, maybe, because they are just more out there.
He has been gone for a while.
Yeah, like, he was, he's like, but his comedy's still out there, but he just hasn't been on the scene much. His two most recent specials are unbelievable.
Yeah.
He is so funny that I think even if he had done, this is maybe this is terrible to say, but even if he had done some like really bad shit, I think he'd still be like undeniably funny and people would be like, I'm still watching his shit. He's that fucking funny.
Do you know a very validating moment for me was he had a bit in his recent special about the scene from Good Will Hunting, the how do you like them apples scene?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's talking about that scene. And I, one of my favorite blogs that I ever wrote here was, it was the ponytail Harvard guy in that Good Will Hunting scene won that argument.
In defense of the biggest douchebag in movie history.
And I laid out my points very, you know, as like an essay, basically. Like anybody, ending my Trump card was... Anybody who threatens violence as the end of an argument has lost.
Disagree!
You've gotten in their head to the point where they are just a fucking gorilla.
Right.
They're like, let's go outside. I'm going to beat you up. Because he's like, well, you're going to be serving my kids French fries.
Why do I disagree? Because it's all I have.
Yeah, of course.
Idiot.
Yeah. Of course.
I had my college roommate would always say that. He's like, you're already mad. Like, now you want to hit me? Yeah. Guess what? You lost. I was like, dude, I'll fucking kill you. How about that?
And then you, I promise you, I didn't lose. I'm going to fucking kill you. Yeah. You'll be dead. Yeah. You lose.
It's like Mac. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to fucking kill you. Yeah, so.
My thumb through your eye.
Yeah, so, you know, to see Louis do that bit where his whole part is like basically dogging Matt Damon for that scene,
yeah.
I was like, that's close to my
thought. Like the fact that you ever had.
And for him to have that thought to make that funny, because the movie came out 25 years ago or whatever, I was like, oh, I might have been onto something.
Yeah.
Like to have someone of that caliber think. In that shade that I had thought of as
no,
well.
I mean, that's
is a very validating.
As close as it gets. I mean, he is like the perfect comic. Like, I think he's the perfect look where it's a funny look that he makes fun of well. The delivery, the thoughts, it's just.
Yeah.
I mean, he's on a whole other level, if you ask me. And also, I guess, you know, like I ordinarily that question for the vast majority of my life would have automatically been Dave Chappelle. And I feel like Dave Chappelle the last few years is like, just shut the fuck up, dude. Like, Louis has just stayed funny. And maybe it's because he stayed out of a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Louis would have been, even if nothing happened, I think he would have been a pretty, like, anti-social media, anti-podcast, not, like, always out there, always doing, like, specials every 3 seconds. So I think being a little, you know, back from everything almost helps.
I like that Louis prepared for being canceled, so to speak. Because he was the first one to have, like... He sold on his own site.
Yes. He was ready to rock.
It's like major corporations are not going to fuck with me.
Sooner or later, the other shoe is about to drop. Yeah. So, he did it right.
Did you guys listen to the Matt and Shane episodes where Louis did the presidents?
Crazy.
And it's there where you realize, well, this is a fucking learned scholar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this guy has an encyclopedic knowledge about.
Everything.
85% of the presidents?
Which is like, I mean, being funny is, you know, you gotta be smart to be funny.
And it also makes you realize like, oh, well, yeah, they banished him to his beautiful log cabin in the Hudson Valley to read books.
Right, that's probably what he wanted to do
gift.
Anyway. Yeah.
He took a break. Now, I'm sure he would have liked that $40 million he lost, but you know.
But like... You know,
it's not. You know.
I would love if I could get canceled in a way that doesn't like ruin the rest of my life. I would love it. Like to be like, you can't go on social media anymore. Like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, like people don't want to hear
unplugging.
From you. It's like great, yeah. Because it really is just a sickness at this point. Mm. I think the best blog you ever wrote, and I found it. Oh. Wait, go ahead.
I know. I was gonna say, how fucking bad does it suck that we blog? Because like what you said, like that is such a funny idea. And then, like, you remember it, but how many people do you think remember it?
My
favorite
though.
Blogs, I bet no one fucking
I disagree because I think I have a lot of people who will come up to me or DM me or whatever, and they're like, do you remember this blog? And I'm like, no. And
then
someone jogs my memory, and I look at it, and I'm like, oh, wow. Like, and it's actually kind of funny because I'm reading it. First of all, it was a long time ago, so I forgot about it. Second of all, it sounds like a different person because it was like a lifetime ago. And it just doesn't sound
old man. Yeah, like, but sometimes you're such a fucking loser.
Usually I agree with you. I'm like, but when it like when it is funny and it sounds like a different person, it's almost like I'm reading a new blog and then I get to the end or I see it's my name and I was like, that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
I have done that on occasion. Like, but usually when someone tells me something they've read, they're like, I love this blog. I'm like, what are you, an idiot?
Yeah, it's like
why'd you like that one?
Yeah,
that
one sucked. Yeah. I don't even know.
People, you know when you said you were bringing cunt back? I love that.
No, I agree with Kevin. People will come up to me and be like, oh, big fan. I love that blog you wrote about making fun of Mark Wahlberg's workout routine. And I'm like, my God, I didn't know anyone even read that.
Because it was like one out of a million, yeah. You know? It's like,
and so you don't always know what connects with people. Mm-hmm. But yeah. to draw fans from so many different places is a validation of, I think, your broad skill set.
That I mean, I agree with that wholeheartedly, but I just think that like when you're throwing them out that often.
Well, so the perfect example of this, I think the funniest blog he ever wrote, I found out about like 6 months ago, maybe it was a year ago now. The fight with the Lobsterman.
Oh yeah,
he went on. I think it was Shane.
Or yeah, Matt and Shane. Yeah.
So he went on with Matt and Shane, and he told the story of when he got the shit beat out of him by a lobsterman in Maine. And
talk about his blog all the time.
Well,
blog,
the story. Yeah, so yeah. I hear him tell it. And he tells it so when you were like, so this guy is like 6 foot like five and really flexible. And Matt was like, how did you know he's flexible? And he's like, you're like, because he kicked me in the face.
Yeah. I'm 6'3".
Because I think like the way the story read, like it was almost like Matt thought that you were on the ground getting kicked in the face.
No.
Like, I was standing up and got kicked in the face. That's how I know he was flexible.
I would hurt myself trying to do that to someone. And I still remember he was wearing Carhartt pants. I'm like, those are so stiff. Like, how did he get his fucking boot to my chin?
Dude, so he has been dying
laughing. Getting in the face standing is incredible.
Crazy. It's scary.
You're like, ah. I go home. I mean, this is enough of this. Yeah,
because most fights, 99% of fights are, you know, you punch once, we wrestle. To get a boot to the face like the Undertaker,
dude.
It's like, oh, I am in over my fucking head.
It was really bad. The guy knocked me to the ground, and then I was on my hands and knees, and he stepped over my back and then grabbed my like coat hood and was swinging. You know,
around
like, my face, where like I was on my hands and knees, I couldn't like block because then I would have just fallen
down.
Yeah, and it just like there was no defending,
no,
just no stopping.
Well,
it.
That was also probably his like 5,000th street fight. Yeah, you know what I mean, like,
and then I stood up and fuck, man, I mean, it was so bad. It was like,
but also, I mean, you were like broken orbital bone. Like it was actually really bad. It wasn't just like, oh, I got my like,
the worst
it was bad
part.
I lost.
We were
like,
so drunk, obviously, and when I went to bed because I was like, fucking, I'm the man. Got into a fight, and I had, my mouth was bleeding pretty heavily. And so I went to bed and just swallowed all that blood. And I've actually learned this in two different ways. That when your body swallows when a lot of blood collects in your stomach, your stomach can't digest blood.
Right.
And there's a reason for that. Your body has a natural process where if it feels and notices that there's blood collecting in your stomach, it typically means to the body that you have internal bleeding.
Yeah.
And so to alert you to that, it makes you nauseous and throw it up.
Right.
So I woke up in the morning and rushed to the toilet and threw up all
blood. Nothing but blood. Oh my God.
And that was when I was like, oh, I'm in trouble. This is way worse than
was it,
I realized.
Was it Christmas or Thanksgiving too?
It was that morning when I woke up was Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve. And I was like 6 in the morning, 6:30, and that's, you know, you go to bed drunk. It's amazing how numbing alcohol is
you're
to
like,
pain.
Oh, I'm like a little bit bruised up, but I'm okay.
And then I woke up and my face, it's pain. Like someone is operating on you and there's no anesthesia. And I was like, ah, fuck, I need to get home. So I got into the car, still dark, cold, Maine. Went to fucking, drove 20 minutes home.
What was that, like an apartment or a dorm or something?
No, that was, I was spending the night at my friend's house because he lived in the city of Portland and we were all drinking. So we just crashed there. And then I walked into the front door Christmas Eve. My mom's cooking Christmas cookies.
And you're just like,
and the smell of that hit me in the face. The dogs came to greet me at the door. My mom comes,
I would have just been weeping.
My mom's like, you're home early. And then she saw my face and was just like, what happened? And I had to tell her, and we had to go to the get emergency dental surgery because it's the dentist isn't open on Christmas Eve.
No,
so you go to like this emergency dentist. This one was completely loose. I had hairline fractures in my gums, which I didn't even know was a thing you could have.
Good for him.
Broken orbital bone. Broken nose, and the nose healed. And shut off the left nostril.
That's my favorite part of the whole thing.
Which I didn't know until I started doing cocaine years later. And I couldn't ever get it through the left nostril. I would I'd be like, what's wrong with me?
It didn't go in.
What's wrong with me? Everyone's like, dude, you gotta switch nostrils. You gotta even it out. You're gonna blow a hole through one of them.
You get the check, dude?
And I'd be like, I can't. I'm sniffing, but it's not
Nothing's coming up.
The vacuum is clogged.
That was my favorite part of the whole fucking story.
Yeah.
But this is all to say that I heard this, and go, you know, this is funny enough, but go listen to my Matt and Shane when you hear it in its entirety. And I was like, this is one of the greatest stories I've ever heard in my life. And I think I texted him, and I probably said something like, you know, why didn't you ever talk about this at Barstool? And he was like, I did. I wrote a blog on it. Yeah. But it's just because there's 1,000 fucking blogs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, that,
and then right afterwards, a fucking Braves game recap went
right. on. Right. Yeah. You know, who guess that camel toe went up his fucking, you know, epic tail. You know? I love you, Trent. But it's like that's part of the thanklessness of blogging, but man, that and then the final piece of it is that you connected with that guy. He heard you.
Yeah,
he read the blog and DM'd you.
Fuck off!
That was honestly me.
As you were telling that story, I was like, I'd love to like catch up with that guy.
And you guys were like, cool, right?
Once he was like, said fractured gums,
sure sounds like a Barstool fan, right?
Sure sounds like the N word while he was hitting me too.
Has a commenter handle.
You actually are. When I was listening to it, I was like. And even the way the fight stopped and everyone, you dapped it up with him and you're like, good scrap. And I can understand that. And I can understand reconnecting with him. But
what did he say to good when you hitting him going good scrap?
I don't think I said good scrap. I was like, I was like, wow, that was awesome. And he was like, yeah.
Like, I'm good, dude. It was awesome for me.
And he was like, are you okay? That's what I said. I said, are you okay? And he goes, yeah.
You didn't win, dude.
My right hand hurts a little bit.
A little sweaty.
Knuckles, but, you know.
Yeah, I'm out of breath a little, but.
But I understand the idea of like, yeah, we did this thing together. Like, you had this connection. But then when I heard how fucked up you were.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could like write a Facebook message and be like, yeah, man, like all under the bridge. I'd be like, oh, I'm fucking, there's a statute of limitations. I'm still coming after you, bro.
I mean, I don't blame him. The person who was really in the wrong in that whole thing was the guy who threw the first punch at the kid I was sitting with.
Right. Yeah, you got scooped up in the whole thing for no reason.
I was sitting at a booth in this pizza place, Bill's Pizza, which has since closed. And I had originally walked in there with my friends that I'd been at the bar with. And then I saw all these guys that I used to play sports against in high school. We were rivals, but like friendly, we would play on like summer teams together. And so I went and just went over to their booth and sat down and said, hi. I was kind of like catching up, whatever. We're all fucked up. And the way I remember it, and this is a little hazy, was that these women came in to the pizza place and they were like angry with each other, kind of fighting or something. And that one of these guys that I was sitting with started saying, you know, shit to them.
Got it.
And then one of their boyfriends came over and was like, don't make it worse. And then that same guy was like, Keep your dogs on a leash or something. I think that might have been what he said. I mean,
that'll get you hit.
That'll do it.
But he said it through a mouthful of pizza. He's sitting down.
I'm going to say it like this.
In a booth.
The fucking throw
you know, and then I swear to you, that the next thing I saw was that there was just, he had his hands cupped and they were filled with blood from his nose. It was like, it happened so fast.
That makes sense.
Like lobstermen from Maine, they fucking catch lobsters and they fight. That's what they do.
Yeah. And so then there was this weird moment of like.
There's no one you can say that to where their boyfriend doesn't have to hit you afterwards.
Right. Even
and
like
it could be the biggest pussy in the world.
For sure.
If it's like, keep your dog on a leash, like. Well, I have to hit you. You'll probably kick my ass afterwards,
right?
But I have to hit you now.
Yeah. Like it's just I'm legally binding here, you know.
And then I didn't. I was like, am I friends enough with these guys that I'm supposed to be with them?
It's a good line
for this
know.
Fight.
You know,
like I'm visiting.
Yeah.
I'm visiting this table.
I just said hi.
I'm not even with them.
But I had also started sort of subscribing to this fallacy of like, if you know, you got as a guy,
you got to fight.
You got to be in a fight. At least you got to know the measure of your manhood.
Yeah.
Everybody should get knocked out once.
Knocked out? What? I don't know, man.
Take a punch.
Take a punch once. Yeah, it's like, I'd rather not get punched in the face ever, but okay.
And so...
Well, you knew. You found out. The measure is not Lobsterman.
No. No. That was a very one-sided loss.
But the fact that I honestly think that there is a lot of masculinity in taking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you...
Yeah.
The fact that you just like went to bed and you're like, all right, I'm just going to go to bed and... Is fucking
no. There is a measure to that. Like, I mean, it's stupid, and obviously, like, don't do that if you don't have to. But if you do go through that, it's like, all right, one of the worst things that can happen to you. You know, I got beat to within an inch of my life, and I fucking survived.
The problem is, it's a street fight, and depending on where you are, it could be anywhere. That person has a knife.
You're
dead.
And you're fucking
dead. For
or,
nothing.
And you're lucky.
For nothing.
Well, I guess you shouldn't say lucky because it sounded like that guy could handle himself. But we've been talking about in recent years, everybody fights MMA. You know, like all of a sudden your fucking arm is broken and you're choked out and you hit your head on the way down and you're fucking in a coma.
It's not this idea that that fights are going to adhere to some code of conduct.
Right.
And that people will be there to jump in if you get knocked out cold so the guy doesn't keep beating
your
you.
Senseless face. Yeah. I know a
girl.
It's
not right.
She, I don't know, but like a friend of a friend or whatever, died. A fucking pint glass broke in like a brawl and sliced her neck. Like not like somebody like used it. Like it was just a
it
melee
just
and it just boom.
Dude, that happened.
And they were like, you know, everyone's like, it's a bar fight. And then you look down like your friend is bleeding out. And it's like, what the fuck happened? But that shit can, you know, and for fucking what?
That happened in Newport. I honestly, it was told to me when I was like 15. So it might have been like an old wives tale kind of deal. But someone got knocked out in a street fight. They fell into the street on the Thames Street. And it just perfect timing. A car was going by. Car ran over his head.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. It was just an accident. Like it was just. You know,
imagine
the timing of it.
Yeah. And then he was resuscitated, and that's Chris Klemmer. Have you seen in the shape of his face? Tell me that face wasn't
run over by
a fucking 18-wheeler. That then was like, oh, fuck, we've hit someone. Let's back over. No! That face is narrow. He can go through fences that humans should not be able to go through.
He's like a part of the Ocean's 11 crew. He's the guy who looks through a fence to get fucking. That's it. Then you go.
He can just stick his head through peepholes to watch women shower like a fucking hidden camera.
If you're living paycheck to paycheck, you're struggling to make ends meet, it's not fun. You got everything balanced and you think you have your whole budget balanced, and then you have one knockout punch come in the form of a car accident or a personal accident or injury or unexpected tragedy or an unexpected What's the opposite of a tragedy?
Well, how about an invite to a fun bar night?
Sure, an invite to a fun bar night. Like, wait, I didn't plan for this.
I've sold my identity for less.
Literally. That's where you can go to download the app Dave or go to dave.com, and they can help you out with instant extra cash. Up to $500. That's enough to fill up your tank, buy a wedding gift, catch up on bills, go out to the bar, pay for a funeral, whatever, when you get extra cash with Dave, the banking app that will help you tackle those expenses that you've been stressing out about. There's no interest on the loan. There is no credit check necessary. Millions of people have already done it. It's not some trick. It's not. There's no catch. Millions of people have done it. You can be next. So download Dave. And
that is the best Dave tagline. It is not some trick.
Yeah, I added that one, but it's like when someone says like, "Yeah, you can just get money and there's no interest." It's like, "Yeah, okay."
Whoa! Did you guys think this is a trick? It's not a trick.
It's not a trick. Download the Dave app from the App Store. DAVE. Sign up for the extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve. Member FDIC. Future you will thank. Thank you. Have you met like all of the new faces?
I have.
I
saw you and Joey yesterday.
Yeah. I wouldn't fuck with Joey.
No. Joey's gonna like run the joints.
He'll kill you. Yeah.
Joey,
there's a whole new crew. I was thinking. Yeah. I mean, 3 years worth of turnover and new faces. No, I guess not turnover, but
yeah. New faces. Who out there do you even recognize anyway?
Well, there's a lot more people than you'd think. I mean, you know, the whole Tommy and. All these people, I had a lot of crossover. Nick and KB. Nick wasn't here when I was here, but he came shortly after. And then I was hanging out with a couple of these people in the interim. You know, right. I've seen you a couple times, and you and I have kept up. And it was really nice how a lot of people wanted to maintain a friendship with me. Mm-hmm. And because also, you know, to your point, like. Early on, right after I got fired, I think you and both Roan and you had said, like, I just feel like there's a chance you'll be back someday. Like, and I was, you know, you kind of think like, well, should I allow myself to hope for that? Mm-hmm. I can't because I have to move on.
Right.
And then you get to a point where you're like, oh, yeah, no, that's never going to happen. There's too much time has passed.
Right.
And then... I remember even Roan saying like when I got hired by Bro Bible that Dave had said to him something like, well, actually this helps us somehow potentially hire him back someday.
Right.
And I don't know if that was because it's like, well,
if someone else
is working
for
a rival or like this rehabilitates his image or something like that.
If it was me, my logic would just be like he's been employed since. It's not like he's radioactive.
Right.
Nobody yelled the Bro Bible for signing this guy. So I think if you're good and you get in like in the Barstool world, it's like what's the quote in Game of Thrones? Something about may never die, Nick.
What is dead may never die?
Whatever. Yeah. It's like at Barstool, like it's just once you're in, I think the door can always potentially be open, like for life.
Yeah, know? Yeah. And clearly, again, it's very surreal. I'm very happy. I'm much happier than I thought I was going to be.
Yeah,
because I had mixed feelings coming back, not from like a simply from like a fear standpoint of like, do I still have it? Mm-hmm. Am I able to entertain the audience still?
So wait, do you feel? I would almost feel the opposite because just as time goes on, I just start thinking more and more about like the future and stuff, and it's like I would probably be more afraid to not have a Barstool audience. That it's like I gotta find I gotta make sure I can do it without Barstool. I feel like coming into Barstool, you almost have this audience that's like here's a new person for you. Go at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you were more nervous to come back.
Well, I wasn't. I mean, the first time I worked here was the most terrifying thing ever. Yeah. I don't know if you recall my first month here.
That was insane.
A little turbulent.
Yeah. I mean, we could write a book on your whole life. We'll start with the fight.
Yeah.
And we'll go through Barstool Idol. and cancer. Oh, and that's also, that's it all tied together because you found the polyps when you were getting surgery for your nose, right?
Yes. Shut up.
Yeah. The pre-op checkup for the nose that we were going to do, I saw an ear, nose, throat person who also, I was very hoarse all the time. Like one night of going to a bar and I would be hoarse for a week. And I went and finally saw an ENT and they were like, would they do a vocal cord check? And they found these polyps on my vocal cords. And then I also saw a nose guy who was like, we need to break the whole nose and basically start from scratch.
Is that a new nose you have there?
It's, I mean, a new nose.
It's a nice nose.
Yeah.
Strong nose.
Yeah. If you look at pictures of the old one, there was a bump that here that would that came out and was it was all crooked and it came out pretty far. So they like,
I got to get a new nose.
You got to go get in a fight with a lobster, bro.
If you have any issue breathing out of your nose.
Oh, I don't breathe out of it at all.
You'll get
a getting a nose job has been for my health. One of the most life changing things.
Really?
True story.
Because I'm going to do it
because of breathing. Like it's just that much better
every single night.
Well, you know, do you know Jackie? You probably don't know her yet. She's like our new producer.
Yeah.
Like sort of. She's getting one. Now. She's like literally right now healing up.
Yeah, it's hell. It's not fun.
Well, yeah, she's
well. That's why I think so because when she was talking about like her little fucking towel jewel or
that
whatever,
was crazy, dude. That she was, said,
"This is the funniest thing in the world."
she's breathing through her mouth, obviously.
Yeah,
and the doctor said you should get a humidifier. She didn't have one for the first night. She ordered one, but for the first night, she just wet a towel, left it on her chest while she slept on her back, and when she would wake up like a dry mouth, she would just bite on the fucking towel and take a hit of water. She said it was like a little jewel. She would just go. She was like,
a little washcloth
jewel. If you ask me,
yeah,
it's fucking it's brilliant. That's but good. Dude, what I
take a sip of water, but you know
what I learned from that is that like everyone doesn't have a dry mouth all night.
So this is exactly what I'm saying.
That's happening to me these days. It's
you're waking up effectively hungover every single morning.
Every day.
And that's what was happening.
Well, yes.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
But also, even
I'm
if
also
not,
hungover every morning. Yeah.
Even if not.
Yeah. No, to be breathing through your mouth every night is not good for you.
Yeah.
It's not good for your health.
Dude, my
eyes.
It's not
good for your heart. Dude, this is literally how I live.
Yeah.
But so you're
I'm a goddamn hero. The fact dude, the way I do what I do.
You are you really are. Honestly, you know, hats off to you, dude.
Yeah.
Everything I learned about me is like, by the way, you like are dying. I'm still kind of killing it a little bit.
Not even you should be dying. You should have been gone a long time ago, bro.
He's like red at the end of Pineapple Express.
Bro, for real.
Yeah.
I should be so dead.
You should. And
I refuse to die.
At the very
which is a real
least,
paradox.
Yeah. At the very least, I know. You want to die. You refuse to die. You want to die. You should die. You won't die.
Yeah, I just won't do it.
At the very least, you should be like not successful in a fucking wreck. You know?
But dude, it's funny because in conjunction with all of this, someone recently sent me a video of a guy explaining how even though he can breathe from his nose, and a lot of the time when we sleep, we still open our mouth and breathe from our mouth. And so what he started doing a lot, and this is like a viral video, is he tapes his mouth shut every night. This is a thing that's going viral.
I would end up dead.
A friend of mine started doing it, and I have been doing it.
Like this?
You just take a piece. No, just like take a piece of medical tape,
okay,
and you go from here down.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't like your sides are still open, but mm-hmm. like it just means predominantly you're breathing from your nose.
Mm-hmm.
Since I started doing this, my wake up and your nose is so much better at filtering air than your mouth.
Interesting.
And it's like a built-in filter process, and it's much healthier for you.
This guy can't even breathe his nose
can't,
right now.
Like, I can't do it.
You have a fucking honker on you. Right?
Yeah.
So I think...
Bro, what if I come in one day with a hot nose?
Well, you could get so much air in that nose.
Yeah.
If you would use it, it would be... You
and
know,
it makes no sense because my mom has like a really distinct smell, like a sense of smell.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have none whatsoever. And it doesn't make any sense because like we have the same genetics.
But
like she would come in like when we were kids and she would walk into her room and she'd go like, who has their shoes off?
like a witch, like
hygienically it's fucked me up. But like I'm always like,
if you have ever heard this man snore, You would be like, get him to a hospital right now.
Dude, but I've been to a hospital to have a fucking sleep apnea test.
That man,
and they're like, you just snore.
No, but that,
which is crazy. I mean,
no,
that was.
I mean, that can't,
that
was, it's insane.
That was like, I mean, that was.
I can't make the noise myself. Like, no, it's not loud enough. I have to go like, it's like, ha! Ah! Yeah. It's so,
it's unsettling.
Crazy.
I'm just screaming.
How do you how do you date people?
Yeah,
I do not understand.
I watched it happen. We all slept in your like loft. I watched her tiny little thing fucking like, it was almost like she timed it. Like he was kind of like a and like right at the inhale, I guess she just like gave him a knock.
She cracked him.
Stopped for like 10 seconds and then it started again. And I mean, it was one night of a weekend and I was like, okay, I'm just not going to sleep at all tonight, but whatever. But this girl presumably does it pretty often.
Yeah.
This is insane.
How was her body? How was it? How was her body?
He said tiny little thing. I appreciate that.
I don't care about what you were saying.
So I was watching him sleep.
No, it is. But like, I've had girlfriends go so far to say that like they get so used to it that like they almost, they're like,
it's a white noise.
You're their ambient noise machine.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
It's like I miss like,
there's no
the
doubt.
Screaming.
There's no doubt. It's a banshee. He's a literal banshee. It is crazy. There's no doubt in my mind that maybe you don't like, I can't even imagine how you don't like qualify for a CPAP machine or whatever, but you would benefit from it.
That like, was 15 years ago. It just 12 makes, years ago at this point.
It just is like a, like we all could probably use one. It's not like a thing that, what I mean? Like, so you just would have to benefit.
No, when it all, like all said and done, and people were like, just so you know, you've been operating on 30 minutes of actual sleep.
Yeah, I bet every night. I bet your disturbances or whatever, if you wear those things.
I'm like, yeah.
My dad started doing the CPAP machine. It's weird. He's not like a fat guy, but it must be a breathing thing. I think he did do one of those sleep analysis things, and it was like you have a disturbance like every like 2 seconds. You don't get like any deep sleep. And he said he started wearing it. And he said he either didn't remember or didn't dream for like 40 straight years. And he's like, yep.
These are stories I tell. Yeah.
And then he said he started dreaming again in like the most vivid technicolor. Like, you know, he's like, I'm seeing my mom again. And people, you know, like he was like, I love to go to sleep at night now.
Wow.
Like, this is pretty depressing.
I was saying, I feel like I'd be like, whoa, too much. I didn't sign up for this.
Too much.
Dude, that is too much. That is wild, though. It's great to have you back, dude.
It's so
also
good.
Such a good sign for – I love everybody that has started here recently. I think a lot of it was like kind of serendipity, though. Like you were doing good on social media and we'll throw you against the wall and it fucking worked. And so like that's awesome. But it's it was like good to see a signing that was like – it's like a team – like a free agent signing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like that was a good fucking draft pick. That was a good signing.
I appreciate
signing.
You guys.
I like seeing that the company is, you know, still about that. So that was good.
Yeah, no, I credit, you know, I credit you guys.
Okay, good. Thanks. It's all
anybody who kept my name warm.
Yeah.
And you know, and Dave, obviously, and Erica, it's been a really interesting 3 years, and I'm very happy. I'm really happy.
It's good.
I came in yesterday, I went home, and I was like, holy shit. That was fucking awesome. It's just awesome to come in here.
I like, dude, that makes me happy to.
I think people lose sight of it when you're here.
Yeah, you do. It's also, you know, it's like we're the old dogs here, and like the veterans are.
Yeah, yeah.
I also think that it's a little bit of a healthier place right now. Like,
totally.
I don't think you're gonna come in fear every day.
Yeah.
Like the first go round.
Man, once, I was saying that to people yesterday. It's like the whole culture seems to have changed.
It is.
I used to come in terrified.
It is. Yeah. I think for the better and for the worse. I think a little bit of both.
Yeah, it's true.
I think there are parts where
the content is a little bit different and slipping at times, but the,
and also just the fact that like it's not back when you were here, it was. We were Barstool Sports.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was like we were all in it together. We wanted to go, you know, to the moon, whatever the fuck you want to say. And we were all working, like, let's make Barstool as good as possible.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a pretty rare sentiment now.
Yeah. Mm. We need a MAGA movement.
I think we already got that one.
The question is, though, because things have changed, and so you did kind of have a serial killer slash I'm gonna fuck Frankie thing going.
Oh, yeah.
Are we reviving that?
Yeah, I definitely you know, I want to pick my spots. I think the Frankie thing was funny because I developed it slowly.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. One day I just saw him come into the office. He wasn't wearing a hat. And I was like, well, he's pretty feminine looking.
He's a little lesbian.
And then
he has
I
put
started,
on some pounds too, though.
Yeah. And so then I started talking about like, I don't feel like it's gay to be attracted to him. And then it started more gaining speed into like, these are my sexual fantasies.
It's gay to be attracted to him.
It's not technically gay to be attracted to Frankie when he's not wearing his hat. And then it turned into, you know, these are the fantasies about him. And then anytime he would do something unique, I might, but you got to space it out. You can't beat that joke to death. You gotta pick your spots.
I mean, you used to write like full blown like erotica.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. No, that probably.
And also, he was like at that point. Reg is literally like looking down, like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just watched Reg lick his lip.
Yeah, that was probably,
you know what?
My favorite blog that I ever did write was the one where it was like Tommy Smokes was going to Dave's apartment because Dave had decided he was his good luck.
He lived there. I forgot about that. For
charm
like 3 weeks.
On betting. It was like during March Madness or something. And the two of them would just hang out awkwardly.
So weird.
Until it was like time for him to go home. And I wrote a blog that was like, with Tommy Smokes moving in with Dave, it only makes sense that Frankie moves in with me. And it was all about how, like, well, Frankie was part of Dave's inner circle and he's been replaced. And so now I'm going to take him. And I had this, I've never, it's hard to end a blog sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very hard to find that bow. Mm-hmm. And I still remember, I said something like, and at night I'll read him a bedtime story and whisper in his ear, you'll never have to hear one bite, everyone knows the rules again, for ours will be a household that frowns upon the use of teeth. And I remember typing that Jesus sentence and being like,
finito.
I'll never write a better blog. I'll never write a better blog. And it was the first full gay one that I did. And I was like, oh man, the audience is going to be torn over this.
I remember him being like, I don't know what to do. Yeah, yeah. Like, do I respond? What do I do?
Because it was before like Frankie was coming.
I mean, he was just a camera,
like, he was just a camera guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was like, what the fuck am I supposed to say?
Yeah. Yeah.
This guy who wants to suck my dick with his lips.
Yeah.
So wait, before we wrap up. So you'll be writing blogs, but we're also bringing your podcast.
Oops, podcast. Yeah, yeah, give it a listen. You guys will love it. Similar vibes to this. Two friends. The audience is the third friend. Giulio Gallerati, my dear co-host, dear friend. Intrepid adventurer. He just went to Afghanistan.
Dude, he went to fucking the Taliban run Afghanistan.
It's like having dinners with Taliban families and stuff like
but
that.
Why?
Because he goes, this is what he's like, does travel vlogs and stuff like that.
Okay.
And does sort of, but he goes to very dangerous places. And
all the places that I have that X on.
Like, I mean, like, I honestly think it's awesome. Like, I would love to do that.
No.
I just don't have the courage to do it.
Yeah. Not that.
I would do that in a fucking heartbeat.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I would, if someone.
No.
Yes. Yes, I absolutely would.
You would go to Taliban-controlled Afghanistan.
I would do it with him. I'm not going to put together, like, the same thing, like when a friend's
you really
like,
do have a death wish.
When a friend's like, you want to go to Nashville? I'm like, I'm not going to do it by myself.
Nashville?
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
No, this is my point. That's my point. I'm like, I'm not going to do it, but like, if you plan it, yeah, I'm in.
Oh my god. The reason why he won't go to Afghanistan is just the planning.
Logistics.
You are unbelievable, bro.
Yeah.
All right, so download Oops the podcast.
Yeah, give it a listen.
And check the blog for the writing, and at Francis Ellis is the that was something. I do remember when you had to like change the handle. It was like, "Oh."
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like Sons of Anarchy getting their fucking.
When I got fired, I had to go from Francis Barstool to something else.
Oh, Francis, I didn't know you were Francis
because there was that guy who had kept it, and everyone made fun of him for it.
Yeah,
he stayed so and so Barstool.
Yeah, you got
even though he'd been fired.
Yeah,
and I was like, I don't want people thinking that I'm trying to just maintain this connection,
right?
The Yankees blogger.
Yeah, because if you change it, you lose your blue check. So he was like, I just don't want to lose the blue check.
Oh, I see. Dude, that I can't wait till the day I get fired.
Is this the end?
Is that exactly an hour? No, we went. We had to go over an hour.
I started in the middle.
Oh, okay, I was gonna say
because we didn't talk about the car video.
Oh shit! Yeah, we gotta go.
Because I wanted
over.
To talk to you guys.
Yeah,
about
yeah, yeah.
That.
Go over. Yeah, yeah. Let's go.
Oh, okay.
Because there was alternate side Thursdays, which I thought was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, thank you.
Where, because it's such a deeply, like, I think it's only a New York thing. Maybe, do other cities do it?
They may, but there isn't the, like the there isn't it. The feeding frenzy right. that there is here.
To the point that you became, like, I think a little too close with the fucking sanitation worker.
Yeah. I mean, that's another thing where it's like, you start doing something and then it be like, you fast forward and 20 weeks later of it, you're like, whoa. How did we get here? Like,
I'm a garbage man on the side.
Good friends with the Department of Sanitation, like, you know, but it was really cool. It was something that was like, man, I'll tell you, this may sound ridiculously delusional, but I thought that if of anything I had done, there was a chance that that was going to get me an invite on Rogan.
I could see that
because there was a moment where Giannis was talking to him about the parking situation and the street sweepers in New York City, and Giannis had told me how much he liked it. Bert reached out and told me he really liked it. Yeah. And I was like, fuck, I just feel like I'm circling a little, maybe I'm way off.
Isn't it funny when you're doing something, you're like, this is
this is the one.
Yeah, I know.
And but I
probably had like seven of those. I know. I'm like, this is going to fucking go.
And then it's the ones that you don't think that do, right? You know, but that was like, you did have something there and there was a lot of people, like you could tell that a lot of people who know funny really thought that was funny.
Yeah.
It's also because one of the things I like still like lack in my game as a blogger or podcast or whatever is like when you're out in public and you just will whip out the camera and mix it up. And like, I mean, there were people ready to fight. There were people in the middle of fights and it's the one, it's this thing. If you're not familiar with it, people are fighting for parking spots. And Francis would just be like, hello, what's up? You know, and it's like, that's when you get fucking run over by a crazy New Yorker. But that's also when you get the most amazing footage.
Yeah.
And then to go from that, it's like cars are like your fucking,
it helped that I was
yellow sun.
Yes.
You're Superman and car content is your yellow
there's
sun.
There's something about being in a car that, I don't know what it is. It's like a think tank for me. And maybe that's true of other people too, but like the intimacy of it, the sound,
the best work comes out of there.
There's lots going on around you, but you are sealed into this bubble of you know, I'm alone and I can create in here. Yeah. And yeah, it's crazy that some of my most popular things have all come seemingly from within a car.
The car vigilante situation. Francis, it's funny because I didn't notice that a lot of people will just blow by on the shoulder until I saw your video, and now I'm noticing it more and more.
Certain highways have it a lot more than others. There's this one highway that I go play golf, which is why I'm always wearing a golf ball and a golf hat.
You do
hat,
look which perfectly, like, for the
really
character.
Yeah. Doesn't help with the certain people that don't like the videos.
Well, that's so you unintentionally stumbled into a race war. Because so Francis blocks the shoulder from anybody who's just like, fuck you, I'm going in the shoulder, I'm better than you, I can't wait in this traffic. Francis pulls out and blocks them and then goes slowly in the shoulder with the flow of the traffic, the blocked traffic, and then leaves the people behind him like honking and flashing their lights.
You haven't been shot.
I know. Yeah. Well,
I've only done it two or three times. My wife was like, "You can't do it anymore."
Yeah, you can only do it in New York too. Like if you go down south, where like
they're carrying
a little concealed carry weapon on them.
When you said there was one video where you said like the guy's reaching in the glove box, so I'm gonna let him go. Was that real? Back. Or
yeah, he was. And
that's you see someone reach for the glove box, you're okay. Joke's over. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I pulled back.
Sorry, it was my Instagram video.
I pulled back in, but I do have this dream. In fact, I tweeted after a couple of them. I was like, does anyone know how to bulletproof a car?
He's in a G-Wagon just like, I ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, and it's like one of those things where like a lot of people are like, aha, whatever. And then one guy was like, I work in the United Arab Emirates. I often bulletproof. I have a body shop where we bulletproof cars for like heads of state. If you're serious, let's talk.
And I'm like, that, like, what's that cost you? And it's got to be a ton, right?
What's that?
What's that run you?
A ton. You I would say. So? Yeah.
I would imagine.
And it's
I don't even have a whole ship from there.
Yeah. And
I was thinking he just like replaces your back windshield.
No, I think
you need to do the tires. Yeah. Apparently the tires are like the most important thing.
Well, then you got to be able to escape, right?
Yeah, you need the body, the car, and then the windows too. And I was thinking if I got serious about this bit, I could get a Jeep or some kind of, you know, SUV that is totally bulletproofed. And what would be funnier than watching people shoot at me and me be like, they don't know that thanks to, you know, Hassan's auto body, I'm fine.
What you really need to do, we need to find like a...
This is saying 16 to 50,000. That's not...
That does not... I would have guessed like...
We get some sponsors.
I would then take the car. We could take the car to Chicago and real.
We could really have some fun with it.
All these people who are threatening my life, and they're like, "Come try this shit in Detroit." It's like, okay,
let's go.
I'll come to Detroit.
I think
mentioning Chicago. I was walking here yesterday, I think, and I walked by a woman who looked like a very young Lori Lightfoot, and I was turned on. I just wanted to get that out there.
There are certain ones you should just keep.
No, I've been thinking
about... Lori Lightfoot is the most disgusting woman on the planet.
Yeah, but not with... It's the gray hair.
She looks like an owl, bro.
She looks like one of the...
I wanted to just leave
like
that one.
She let that linger.
Like one of the humans from the Sesame Street.
Yeah.
Where like the animals gather around. Right. She's like, well, hello, children.
I think we need to find you like a go to like an auction, auto body, whatever, and you get like a Brinks truck. And you just have a, like, your car is just an armored
truck. I think you need that. I think you can have a bulletproof car.
Oh, well, I know. It would be better if people think they're going to shoot up your Camry.
Yeah.
And then
it
doesn't work. Yeah. But if we can't outfit you with a $50,000 United Arab Emirates car, we can just get you in a fucking Brinks truck driving to work.
No, it should be, we should bulletproof a Dodge Neon.
Yeah, make it as fucking... Yeah, unassuming and unintimidating as possible.
Yeah.
But it's actually
did he bulletproof a Neon?
Kia Soul?
Yeah.
But that was like, I mean, it the internet kind of went wild. Well, it was a very,
I put it
certain
up.
Certain races do it, certain races don't do it, and it became
wait, that's a racial thing.
Apparently.
It's so fucked how the line was drawn completely along, it seemed, racial lines.
Really?
Wild.
Can I ask what race?
I don't know the answer to that.
All my white followers were like, you're a hero. I've always thought about doing this. I've never had the balls to do it. Thank God someone is stopping these people who cut.
Well, the first person who posted it, it was World Star. And it was like, look at this fucking honky who thinks he can do this.
Right.
And then we were like, well,
so I'm starting to put together what race it might be.
They sort of, some massive like urban culture site or account.
I thought it was WorldStar, right?
It was called Mixtapes with a Z.
Yeah,
right. But it has like millions of followers.
Yeah.
And they included a little caption underneath that was like, you're on your way home and this fucker does this. Like, what do you do?
Do you think it's because black people are always late?
I don't see how they are if they're always cutting.
That's what I'm saying. they're running by.
Like, they can't be.
How the little only time reason did you
I
leave?
Even know how that black people that? Are ever late is Mo. Mo used to write yeah. Black people time, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
You call it BPT.
Yeah. But like, it was just so warped where it was like, they think he's the one doing. Like,
yeah. I didn't.
Like,
I didn't.
I saw some of the comments being like, get the fuck out of my way, man. Like, that, I got places to be. It's like, we all do.
I get there that.
There's a middle ground, which is you need to reserve that lane for emergency vehicles or, like, people that are desperately trying to get to the hospital. And to those people, I wish I could have said in some that if I had seen someone in an emergency or flashing lights or anything, I would have just immediately merged back in and let them pass. It wasn't
blocking ambulances.
Clogged. Like, I could have the car that I was driving along with was aware of what I was doing, and we were, like, going in tandem. And if I had been like, fuck, I need to get back in, they would have let me do it.
Right.
It was pretty – it's easier than you'd think to determine – if people are just using it to cut,
right?
Or if like my screaming wife is, eight hours into labor,
right.
Help! And not only that, but that particular shoulder ends in 300 yards. You couldn't ride it all the way to the hospital, right?
Right. So you're,
and so everyone who takes it knows I'm going to use it to cut as much as possible,
right?
And then we get to this stoplight at the Holland Tunnel, and it's all you get into the lane. So there's no, you can't make a right turn at the end of it. Mm-hmm. It's just everyone's joining in the same place. And so this was the thing. A lot of people were like, why does it matter to you? Why are you bothered? Mind your damn business. And it's like, every single car that drives there and cuts me is adding 15, 30 seconds to my commute home. I want to get home to my wife. I want to be home too. We're all playing by the rules. What do you mean it doesn't affect me? It does. It's adding time. How do people not get that? They're going in front of me.
I think the 30 seconds is not your argument. I think the fact that, like, just watching that person,
it's affects infuriating.
It. Like that it's ruins infuriating. That ruins my, like, that ruins my day.
Yeah.
It doesn't add 30 seconds to my day. I go to bed not happy.
It's more because the principle that happens. Where it's like, you think your time is more important than everyone else's.
Right.
And it's like, no. But I also have another side of me that, like, I don't do that stuff, but I do think it's very funny that 99% of the world, which is filled with scumbags and murderers and rapists and crazy people, they follow the traffic rules. Yeah. Like a thing hanging up in the air goes red and everybody stops. And even there's no cars at all and everyone will just sit there and wait. It's kind of weird. And it's like there's a line painted on the ground. I can't go over there. And most people don't do it.
But what your examples are mentioning are ones where the repercussions for not abiding could result in serious bodily harm.
Right.
If you blow a red light, you might get T-boned. People therefore abide.
Yeah.
However, riding the shoulder is this free pass where everyone else is inching along and you're not going to get hurt by doing it.
Right.
And I'm telling you, I got a lot of responses from people, or I've even had conversations with people. Doesn't matter. They're white people as well.
Yeah.
Who were like, well, I do it. Of course I do it. I don't understand why everyone's not doing it. You get it home in half the time. And it's like, do you think we don't know about that lane? Do you think we just view that as some crocodile-infested don't-go-there land?
We want to do it, too. We don't.
We choose to play by the unwritten social contract of driving.
Right.
And we don't want to be locked in gridlock, but it's not like, look at that guy. If only I had that strange navigation that he has to use that magical third lane.
Dude, see, I actually think like that where I'm like, when I see someone do something like that, I'm like, fuck yeah, man.
Yeah.
Like, good for you, dude.
Really?
Like, I mean, look.
It bothers me.
I'm kind of using that as an example of, like, whenever I see someone break the law, I'm like, fuck yeah, dude.
But that's usually, like, you're fucking with, like, the police or something like that.
No.
Not, like, you're just fucking over other normal people when you do that.
Correct.
It's more like, I like when someone jumps the turnstile. It's like, fuck the MTA.
Yeah.
That's
right,
fine.
Right.
I don't like that either.
Some girl did it today, and I was like, you're too old for that.
How old was she?
I don't know, 23?
Yeah, too old.
And she was dressed well. I was like,
that's crazy. You're going to your job.
Because then you're like, well, why am I paying for the MTA? Because none of those people ever get caught. I've seen police people.
You got
people
caught jumping?
In D.C. when I was in college. I got like a little write-up. Like, it was, I don't know, fine or whatever. But I was so drunk.
Yeah.
And
I'd
snorted so much Xanax.
Nice.
I didn't know it was Xanax. Someone was like,
that's an important part of the story.
Someone was like, I got a line for you.
I was snorting random powders.
And then I was like, dude, what the fuck was that? Like, Xanax.
That'll change your night.
I was like, all right, yeah.
I'm going to bed by 7 o'clock.
I got to shift gears.
Time to go home and watch a movie, I guess.
But yeah, it was me and my buddy. We both got written up by it.
I noticed that Barstool, like, your first day, like, we reposted that. Did you see that?
Yes, I was because I had sent it to Gaz like when it went viral, and I was like, I know you probably can't post any of my shit, but I'm just letting you know.
This is about,
this will blow up.
Yeah.
Because it's blowing up everywhere.
Right.
And he was like, LOL, I saw it. So good. And I was like, I get it. They're not going to post my shit.
Right.
But then day one, I'm like, hey, guys, I have a video that's gone viral everywhere if you want it. And they were like, and they threw it up. And, dude... So I got some great messages this morning. I woke up to a message from none other than Cousin Greg.
No way.
From Succession.
Get the fuck
Nicholas
out.
Braun.
Bro, do you know him? Can we get him in here?
I mean, I don't. I've been going back and forth with him.
Have you ever seen the pizza review he did?
No.
Time out. I'm sorry to be kind of looking over your shoulder here. What just happened?
Yeah, so these are all people that are responding. Oh, I posted a big... I'll tell you this story, too.
I don't know. He just, like, unlocked something. I don't even know what app he's
on. No, I haven't been on my phone in a while, and...
But, like, what did you... Did you have it locked? Like, what was that? Was it locked? Like, why are all those messages popping up right now?
The last time I was on Instagram... I had a certain number of DMs, and I've gotten hundreds since then. Because a lot of people are responding to this story that I put up, which I'll tell you about in a sec. But this morning I woke up, by the way, 3:30 a.m., Nicholas Braun, Cousin Greg, you're next level, man. You're so fucking good.
Let's go.
I wrote, this is a thrill, my friend. You are quite literally my favorite television character, perhaps ever.
Because of
the
traffic video.
And he goes, well, that is very cool. I'm honored. Keep doing your thing, man. You've got a fucking great
brain.
Get him
on your show, man. He did a pizza review once. I think he had his mask on during COVID. And
he didn't do a pizza review. He was walking by.
And they were doing pizza review, right?
That's amazing.
And they start talking about, he's like, do you know Succession on HBO? And Dave's like, yeah, I love it. And he's like, yeah, I'm on it. And Dave was like, what do you mean you're on it? And he's like, I'm Greg. And he was like, what? And he takes the mask down. He's like,
best character.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Best character on the show.
And I know, I think he's talked to the chicks in the office before. I think he's a Barstool fan.
He saw them like Rolling Loud or something.
Yeah.
And he asked to go on their show.
Yes, he was like, I love your shit. So I was like, we got to get him on here. And for whatever reason, we haven't been able to do it. So make that happen.
I bet you could get him on.
I think guess apparently we can't, though. I've been trying to fucking make it happen.
All right, so then let me
What's
tell
the story
you this.
You posted
so as we said again, it's not just racial lines. We shouldn't have said that. White people get mad about it too, and including
they're just white trash.
A group of guys that have a big Instagram DM group chat, which is, I don't know, that's not that sweet.
Yeah.
I don't think like white guy friends should have.
Instagram group
DM group chats.
I know girls that use Instagram like iMessage.
I hate that.
Me too.
Fucking.
But if you do that, it's like I do have group texts with my guys, but I don't have
group texts with my guys.
No.
I mean group texts that have girls in them as well. I do not have a strictly just the boys group text.
But you have group texts with your friends, my point.
Yes.
Yeah. So then, one of these guys he posted the video to their group chat. And then the next guy, who's the first guy's name is Bo, B-E-A-U. And then the next guy's name is AJ, and he goes, screw that, dude. Someone tried that with Trevor and got his ass whooped on the I-15. And then the next is from Bo, and he goes, ha, 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 I'm thinking that you, Nate, and Drew would have gotten out of the car on the way to the Redeem Team game in Vegas and thrown hands.
Yeah. And then, so Nate, Trevor, Bo...
It gets even better, dude. And then JB goes, someone call Elon and take his Tesla away. Traffic doesn't exist with autopilot. And they're all like liking each other's messages. And then Summer of Sean .eth.eth.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
Of course.
Adds me to the chat. Adds me to their group chat and goes, added that little bitch to the group. Ha ha. Francis, we want to know, why are you such a little bitch? Homie needs to stay in West Hollywood and drive a Mini Cooper. And then Cameron wrote, ha, ha,
get
ha,
the
ha.
Fuck out of here.
And then CJ, swear to God, I'm reading their names.
A bad writes, Hollywood script.
This is where I was like, I need to respond. So CJ writes, you would be intimidated by flashing lights, you pussy. You were probably the kid who reminded the teacher to assign homework right before the bell. I was. That's why I went to Harvard. Not all heroes wear capes, ? Please, you're just another basic-ass white boy in a shitty Model 3. Don't forget to put your pronouns in your email signature before your mom tucks you in tonight. And then AJ wrote, he's probably the type of guy who rushes to lock his doors and roll up the windows if he sees a black guy. So... that's when I was like, hang on a second. Are you really telling me that Nate, Bo, Cameron,
Trevor,
fucking CJ, AJ, and
Shaun of the Dead .eth
are bringing race into this fucking shaming? Are you kidding me right now? So then I wrote back, LOL, hey guys, CJ, who on earth are you calling a basic white boy? You have a shirtless profile pic and an HG Wells quote in your bio, you tuna melt. AJ, show me one picture of you and your black friends, and I promise to celebrate Black History Month for real this year. This guy, Sean, was actually kind of jacked and had a lot of tattoos, so I was like, your daughter is
Sean's
actually
cool.
Adorable. Sean. I have nothing to say to you. You seem cool. The fact that anyone would bring race into this chat is preposterous. This is the biggest collection of white dudes I've ever seen, and I love you all. Good day.
See, that's why sometimes you got to read the internet.
And then I changed the name of their group chat, which was something like, you know, the bros or something, to Francis's cum guzzling bros. And then I changed the profile picture to my headshot.
Write a blog.
And I almost certainly will. So that's what all people are responding to. When you show people sometimes the hate you get,
yeah,
and if you can deal with it in a funny way, a lot of people seem to interact with that and like it. So.
Who knew, man? I mean, the shoulder is like... That's the other thing. You call it the breakdown lane?
Yeah, that's probably a main...
I would call it breakdown lane.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Then it must be maybe it's New England thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you call it? Nick?
Shoulder.
Shoulder.
No, definitely call it the breakdown
lane. I call it breakdown lane.
The lane, like, you know, where, the lane that you're not allowed to drive in for, like, emergencies.
If you got a flat tire and you need to pull off the highway, onto the side of the highway, what would you call that?
What would you call
that?
A lane.
The side street? The sideline?
The sideline?
Where are you from?
But I haven't driven in 5 years.
Are you just guessing? Or do you actually call it the sideline?
They call it the breakdown lane. I call it the shoulder. Would you call it the side lane?
I don't think I've ever had to say it out loud.
Side lane, all right.
Wait, we're not off this point. In Arizona, right? You're on the highway. There's, let's say, two lanes. Left lane, you pass on the left lane, right, to go by people. Is that right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking England all of a sudden. And then on the right lane, you're just cruising along. And then, oh, no, flat tire. But there's like guardrails up, right? So you can't pull off onto the dirt where you might go to go desert. Pee or something. So you have to pull off to the side. So you're out of off the highway so you can fix your tire. What do you call that lane?
I would say I pulled over.
Onto what? Onto what?
This side of the highway.
Very, you do well in an interrogation. It's very little information. Yeah. You're not giving me anything here. But I thought you, it's not actually, you wouldn't actually say sideline. Is that actually?
No, side lane.
Side lane.
Side lane.
Okay.
Right. I can see side lane. I can
know,
see.
By the way, I don't know why I called the shoulder.
If you said I pulled over to the side lane, I'd know what you were talking about.
I don't know why
it's
called shoulder.
Breakdown lane makes a lot more sense than shoulder.
Yeah. Oh. I would call it the shoulder on an exit. I mean, I'd still call it the breakdown lane.
Yeah.
But like if
getting off.
Like I would like I think that maybe that's a little more not the breakdown lane. But yeah, the that extra lane on the side of the highway, breakdown lane for sure.
I mean, yeah, that's what it's used for, so.
All right, shoulders make any goddamn sense.
Francis is back.
Hey, thank you guys. What a joy! This
thank
is a blast.
Much,
really appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
By the way, the day you started, there was a dead girl article like floating around, and
there have been a lot.